I said we have a treat today. Pastor Hughes has a message for us. Pastor Hughes, if you come up here.
Thank you, Kevin. Amen. All right. It's good to be here at Florence Baptist Church in Florence, Arizona. Florence, Arizona. Believe it or not, we have lived in Florence for about a year and a half. Actually, not right within the city limits, but off of Hunt Highway over there. And we've enjoyed living out here in the dingweeds and getting to know people here. And so I've never met Brother Storm before, but when Brother Hughes called me and said, Brother Storm is going into the hospital, I don't know if you would fill in for him. I'd be glad to do that. He said, it's going to be big day. It's going to be Western day, and you'll fit right in. And I don't know what he meant by that, but dug out my Western clothes, and it's good to be here. You know, I was listening to the announcements, and I understand that you're having old-fashioned day. Now, that I'd fit in right there, amen, because I'm pretty old-fashioned. As I was telling this Sunday school hour, I'm the dinosaur, but, you know, you got to have them kind of guys around occasionally. So it's good to be here. I hope you'll be praying for your pastors in the hospital and be praying for him. I hope he's back with you soon. I know that he loves you and you love him. And so you'll be praying for him every day. All right, let's take our Bible, please. Let's try to bring a sermon from the book of Acts, chapter 26. We're going to look at several passages. I gave the scriptures to whoever's going to put them on the screen here. And we're going to start with Acts chapter 26. And verse number 28, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure that most of you have heard sermons from this passage of Scripture. So we're going to look at it. Paul has just witnessed and gave his testimony before King Agrippa. And when he gets done giving his testimony about what the Lord has done in his life, verse number 27, it says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? In other words, he said, okay, you've heard it. Now, do you believe it? And Agrippa said, well, I know that thou believest. I mean, it's obvious that you do. But now look at verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now let's pray. Father, I pray you add your blessing upon the reading of your word as we seek to talk about what it means to be a Christian. And I pray, Father, that you would just give us something for our soul from this message today, from the scriptures, that we might use it in our personal life and our witnessing, that we seek to get people saved in Jesus' name. Amen. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to talk to you this morning about what is a Christian. We use the terminology a lot. Actually, God uses various terms to describe his people. Sometimes he calls them disciples. Sometimes he calls them saints. To the saints that are in such and such a church, the saints at Corinth, the saints at Colossae. Sometimes he'll call them saints. I know some Christians aren't too saintly, but they call them saints anyway. Sometimes he calls them believers, which we are, and sometimes he uses the term Christian. Actually, the word Christian is only found three times in your Bible. I'm going to look at those times this morning. We're going to talk about what is connected with the term Christian in the various places that they're found. All kinds of ideas of what a Christian is. I don't know if any of you have had somebody ask you, are you a Christian? I remember the first time someone where I worked at Dicar Tool Company in Southfield, Michigan, and they produced a lot of the stuff that were made in the automotive industry. Back in those days, most of the cars were made in Detroit. It was truly the Motor City back in the late 60s, early 70s, not that way anymore. But I worked in this shop, and one of the guys that worked in the shop, he was a Christian. He said, Al, he said, are you a Christian? Well, nobody's ever asked me that question before. Are you a Christian? And so the way I answered, I said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. He says, well, what makes you think you're a Christian? I said, I'm born in America, and America is a Christian nation. That must mean I am a Christian. Shows you how naive I was. I mean, America is anything but a Christian nation nowadays. But you know, that is pretty well known that America was a Christian nation. Therefore, if you're American, you must be a Christian. And he looked at me, and he kind of smiled, and he said, well, that's not what the Bible says a Christian is. See, a lot of people claim to be a Christian that aren't really a Christian. I said I was a Christian, but I was not a Christian. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is one. Kind of reminds me of a story that Abraham Lincoln tells. One time he asked a group of senators, and he said, how many legs would a dog have if you called his tail a leg? And the senators, dumb as they weren't thinking, they said, five. And Lincoln said, no, you're wrong. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. And calling somebody a Christian doesn't necessarily make them a Christian. Some people think, well, I go to a Christian church. That must mean I am a Christian. No, that does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you go to a church that has a label on it that says First Christian Church or some Christian or even Mormon or whatever it is, it doesn't make you a Christian. Joining a church does not make you a Christian. Amen? So the word Christian, if you want to know what the word Christian means in the Bible, I'm a Bible believer. And if you're going to talk about something that has a Bible reference, I want to see what it is in the Bible. So let's look at the three places that you find the word Christian and see what's connected with that word where it's found. Now, of course, here we're just reading about King Agrippa's answer to Paul. If Paul says, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. I mean, obviously, you must believe. And so, verse 28, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest. See that word persuadest? That's an important word. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So number one, a Christian is someone who has made a choice. A Christian is someone who has made a choice. That is, it involves an act of your will in response of being persuaded. That is, you have to be persuaded to be a Christian. You are not born physically, naturally. You're not born a Christian because there's no persuasion involved there. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me. There has to be some persuasion that takes place for a person to be a Christian. Can you remember a time when you decided to be a Christian? What persuaded you to be a Christian? Now, I can tell you what persuaded me to be a Christian. Very simple. I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. You said that's pretty at the bottom line. Amen. I didn't want to go to hell, and so I wanted to be a Christian. Now, some people say, well, you know, I became a Christian because of the love of Jesus shed on Calvary. Well, that's great. Amen. But that wasn't, and that can lead people to Christ when they see Christ dying for their sins on Calvary. That's a blessing. Amen. Not me. I just didn't want to burn in hell forever. Amen. So that's what persuades. So can you, and I know exactly the time and the place when I became a Christian. At that particular time, I was living in a boarding house in a city called Plymouth, Michigan. It was on Mill Street in Plymouth, Michigan. It used to be a hotel. It was about 20 feet away from the railroad track. Back in the old days, the railroad would stop there, let people off, and they would go into this hotel, and they'd spend the night for the next train to come. And so it was called the Nelson Hotel. Now, don't let that word scare you. It was just a boarding house. It degenerated, you know. And I needed a place to stay, and they gave me a room for $25 a week. And you shared a bathroom with five other apartments in the upstairs, you know, and you just had to wait your turn to use the bathroom there. And I got a track, a little gospel. I noticed out here in your foyer you have a track rack with all kinds of literature on here. Well, the track that I got at Christmas time was from a guy in our shop. He sent me a track in a Christmas card called God's Simple Plan of Salvation by Ford Porter. Just a simple gospel track, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And he sent me that in the Christmas card. It was around December 1967. Well, I didn't know what the thing was. I just threw it on the dresser, and I took the Christmas card, and I took a thumbtack, and I stuck it on the wall. And that was about it. But I remember one night, I came in, and I saw that track still sitting there. It had been sitting there for days. And I said, what is this thing? And it was almost like it was saying, pick me up and read me. Now, I wasn't saying that, but it was kind of, I was drawn to it. And I picked that thing up, and it opens it up, and it says, dear friend, I'm asking you the most important question in your life. Are you a Christian? That is, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Have you been born again? Well, right, I couldn't stop. I couldn't put the thing down. Because, number one, I knew I was not born again. And I knew that except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. Well, I wanted to see the kid. I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. And so I read that track, and that track led me to Christ. I never prayed in my life. Well, I can't say I never prayed. I prayed before final exams in high school. But, you know, I didn't know how to pray. So I got next to my bed there in the Nelson Hotel, and my room had a dresser and a wardrobe and a bed. That's all the furniture I had in there. So I knelt next to my bed, and I prayed, and I said, God, would you please born me again? I didn't know how to pray. God knew what I meant, though. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? And I called the Lord to born me again, and he did exactly that. I was born again right there and became a Christian. I could take you there. Well, actually, I took my daughter there several years ago. I said, I want you to see where your dad got saved. So we went to, we were visiting there in Michigan, and I took my daughter Alice, and I said, I was saved in Plymouth, Michigan. So we went to Plymouth, and I said, there was a hotel on Mill Street. I knew where Mill Street was. I went to Mill Street, and I found the railroad track, but there was no hotel. It was an empty lot. I said, I know it was right here. There's the railroad track. There was a hotel right there. About that time, a neighbor came out, and he said, can I help you? And I said, yeah, I'm looking for the Nelson Hotel. He said, well, it was right there about 7 years ago. It burned down. Somebody was smoking in there, and the thing caught fire, and it burned down. But that's where it was, right there. I told my daughter, it says, I was saved right there. In a second, but the building ain't there anymore. Amen. But I could take her to the very spot where I got saved. I don't know the exact date. I know it was in December because I got that Christmas card. It was in December, and it was in the year 1967. So I got the year, I got the month, I got the place, but I couldn't remember. It was sometime in December before Christmas. So you might not know the exact date, but you ought to at least know where you were saved. And approximately time that you got saved and the circumstance you got saved. Amen. That is when you became a Christian. There has to be a point where you were not a Christian and then a point where you became a Christian. Because nobody is born a Christian. You're not born a Christian. You become a Christian. Amen. I mean, some people, well, you know, I became a Christian when I was baptized. No, baptism will not make you a Christian. You can be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number. That will not make you a Christian. I mean, swimming in a lake will not make me a fish. Amen? Sitting in a garage will not make me an automobile. Going to Taco Bell will not make me a chihuahua. Amen? So going to a baptistry will not make you a Christian. And so, you know, people say, well, you know, that's not when you became a Christian. There has to be a point in your life where you knew you were not a Christian and something persuades you to become a Christian. See that word Christian, if you look in your Bible there at Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Christian. That word Christian, obviously you see what the root word is, Christ. It's the word Christ with three letters attached to it. I-A-N. Christ, I-A-N. Christian. Now, what you might not realize is that I-A-N, when you attach an I-A-N to a name, that I-A-N means belonging to the family of, or belonging to the country of, or belonging to the people of, or belonging to the family of. That is, you got Russia, but you put an I-A-N on it, Russian, that means people belonging to Russia. Italian, Italy, with an I-A-N on the end of it, is a person from Italy. A nationality is Italian. Arabian, Egyptian, any of those names that end in I-A-N says you belong to that family. You belong to those people. So if I got Christ, I-A-N, that means I belong to the people of Christ. I belong to the family of Christ. Amen. That's my nationality. That's my home. So a Christian, really, a Christian is someone who is related to Christ, who belongs to Christ, belongs to the family of Christ, belongs to the people of Christ. So to say I was a Christian all my life, no, you were not a Christian all your life, amen. There has to be a point where you become a Christian, where you became a Christian. Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That means almost persuades me, that means you're not. To be almost a Christian is to be altogether not a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. You either received Christ or you haven't. You've either been born again or you haven't been born again. I mean, if you take the word Christian, take Christ, and you take the I-A-N off, or take Christ off, you got I-N, all you have is I-N is left. I-N, I-A-N, I am nothing without Christ. I am nothing, I am nothing. King Agrippa was as close to heaven as he was ever be at that particular point. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But he wasn't. He wasn't. A few years ago, I read a story about a man. He was 62 years old, and he was named William Hyatt. Now, William Hyatt, he was found dead in the Mojave Desert. And what had happened was, is they found his car, and his car ran out of gas or broke down. And so he walked 22 miles through the desert until he died. I mean, he crawled on his hands and feet for the last 2 miles, and then he died in the sand. He just died. He did not. What they did not realize is, although he went 22 miles and the last 2 miles on his hands and feet, just over the hill, a half a mile over the hill, was the Sarasota Springs, which could have saved him. He was almost there, but he died. See, almost doesn't cut it. Almost a Christian is altogether not a Christian. So what do we learn about the word Christian? A Christian is someone who has come to a point in his life where he has made a choice. Being a Christian is a matter of you choosing Christ, choosing to be born again, choosing the life you were, not a Christian, to becoming a Christian. Let's look at the second place you find the word Christian. Go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. I think they might have that verse on the screen there. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll pick it up at verse number 12. And read down to verse number 16. 12, chapter 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, down to verse number 16. Beloved, think it not strange. Verse 12, I'm in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Did I get the reference up? I guess not. Okay. You have to look on your Bible. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name, watch it now, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you, for on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Now here it is, verse 16. Yet, if any man suffer as a what? All right, there's the word Christian. That's what we're looking at. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, on the behalf that he is suffering for Christ, suffering for the name of Christ, suffering as a Christian. So number one, a Christian is someone who has made a choice. Number two, a Christian is someone who bears a cross. He has a cross to bear. There's some suffering. I mean, becoming a Christian is easy. I don't know why more people don't become a Christian. It's very easy. All you do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Christ as your Savior. Amen? And you're saved. That settles all of eternity for you. So becoming a Christian is easy, but living for Christ is another matter. Amen? Living as a Christian sometimes can be difficult. I mean, all the time it can be difficult. Because there is a cross. There is a cross that you need to bear. So if you're going to bear the name of Christ, I am a Christian, I'm going to bear the name of Christ, then you also must be prepared to bear the responsibility that goes with the name. Did Jesus suffer? Well, of course he did. And you're not above him, amen? If he suffered, if he was persecuted, so will you be persecuted if you name the name of Christ. So you have to be prepared to bear the responsibility of bearing what it means to be a Christian. And now, you can go and say you're a Christian all you want, but if you start living for the Lord and living for Jesus Christ like a Christian ought to do, well, there's going to be some heat. There's going to be some, because people don't like you to live for Jesus. I mean, you ought to see that on social media. If you're on social media, on the TV, or anything, on the news, if you start naming the name of Christ, they're going to cut you off real quick. They don't want to hear that. But Jesus said, for unto you, listen to this, for unto you is given to believe on the behalf of Christ and also to suffer shame for his name. Did you hear that verse? That's Philippians 1:29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake. Now, I've done some suffering, but it hasn't been for Jesus' sake. It's been stupid decisions that I make. But when you start living for the Lord and bearing his name, there's going to be some suffering. There's going to be a cross to bear. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, if any man shall come after me, he's going to get saved. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's nothing pleasant about a cross. A cross is an instrument of death. A cross is an instrument of torture. A cross is an instrument of crucifixion. Amen. There's nothing happy about it. There's nothing rejoicing about it. Jesus took the pain, took the suffering on our behalf so we could get to heaven. But then we bear a cross, our cross. We don't bear his cross. He already suffered for us. But we take up your cross and follow him. So, you bear a cross. There's some suffering involved with that. And that's what Peter is talking about. He's talking in verse number 12. He's talking about, don't think it strange if you suffer, if you have some trial come in your life. I mean, that's just part of being a Christian. You're partaker of Christ's sufferings, verse number 13. and your reproach for the name of Christ and all that. And he's saying, so, you know, if you're suffering, don't suffer like a murderer. Don't suffer like a thief. Don't suffer like a busybody, another man of affair. But if you're going to suffer, suffer as a Christ. Amen. And don't be ashamed of that suffering, because that just shows you you're really saved. Amen. Number one, a Christian is someone who's made a choice. King Agrippa learned that. You have to be persuaded to make that choice. Number two, a Christian is someone who bears a cross. There's some suffering involved with it. I'm not going to kid you. You become saved and start living like you're saved, you're going to come real, not everybody's going to be happy for you. Some of your relatives, some of your loved ones are going to turn their back on you. They don't want anything to do with you if you've been Christian. Amen? Some people you work with. I remember when I first got saved and I came into work and I started telling everybody. I wasn't ashamed about it. I couldn't say, and I worked second shift. And I went up to my foreman. His name was Jimmy Stoglin. And I said, "Hey, Jimmy, guess what? I got saved." "You what?" He looked at me. "You what?" "I got saved. I became a Christian." And he started calling, hey. And he called all the guys over and said, "Look at old Al's got religion. He's got religion." And they made fun of me, joked me, and they did all kinds of practical things. But you know, I was saved. I didn't care about it. Amen. It just goes with the territory of being a Christian. So a Christian has a cross to bear. Then last of all, let's look at the third place you find the word Christian. Let's go back to the book of Acts. This is one of my favorite places, Acts chapter number 11. You have the church at Antioch here. This is the first church that is established after the church in Jerusalem. For the first 10 chapters or so of the book of Acts, everything centers around the church at Jerusalem. But then the disciples are scattered abroad and they go up to Antioch, a city in Antioch, which is north of Jerusalem. They start preaching the word of God and they establish a church. It's the first church that actually sent out missionaries. Acts chapter 13. So this is a great church. If you want to learn about New Testament Christianity, you study the church at Antioch. You had a guy named Barnabas there. He was an associate of Paul. And he's seeing all these people saved, and they need to be taught the word of God. So he goes and gets Paul, and he brings Paul to Antioch, and he teaches the people about the Lord, about what it means to be a Christian. And verse number 25 and 26, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul." So he says, "I need some help here to teach." Now look at verse number 26. "And when he," that is Barnabas, "when he found him," Paul, "he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." So a year goes by, Paul is teaching them the scriptures, and then after 1 year, notice, "and the disciples," the end of verse 26, "and the disciples were called" what? "Christians." And where were they called Christians? First, in Antioch. So the word Christian originated in a city called Antioch. That's where the name came from. It came from Antioch. It wasn't like the church gathered together for a year and said, "Well, what are we going to call ourselves? Well, let's try to decide on a name." No, the name Christian did not originate within the church. The name Christian resulted outside the church as people saw these disciples and they said, "Look at those guys. They are my little Christs. They're acting just like Jesus. They're acting just like Christ." And they nicknamed them Christians. So the term Christian did not originate with the disciples. I mean, the disciples didn't say, "Well, all in favor of calling ourselves Christians, raise your hand." No, it wasn't like that. It came from outside the church. It was a nickname given to them by people, unbelievers. It was the unbelievers that named the believers or named the disciples Christians. If you look at that verse again very carefully, at the end of verse number 26, that last sentence there, notice, "and the disciples," notice, who's called Christians here? It's the disciples, not just believers. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a follower, is a learned one. It's a follower of somebody. If you're a disciple of somebody, it means you're a follower of that person. A lot of people believe on Christ, but they don't follow Christ. Amen. So it's not just people that believed on Christ. It was actually some people that were following Christ day in, day out, and you could see them by their conduct. You could see them by the way they walked. They lived what they believed. He was the center of their conversation. They talked about Christ. Everywhere they went, they talked about Jesus. What do you talk about when you're around other people? Well, you know, they'll talk about a lot of things, you know, and where I'm from, up in Seattle, they talk about the Seahawks, and they talk about the Mariners, and they talk about Boeing and all this stuff. But dear friend, there's nothing better to talk about than Jesus and what he's done for you. Amen. So they talked about Jesus, and so they nicknamed them Christians. They just didn't talk the talk. They walked the talk. Amen. And they became followers of Christ. And I wonder, how has your behavior, you say you're a Christian, okay, I'll take your word for it, but how has your behavior, how has your conduct changed since you became a Christian? See, let's see what we've learned. Agrippa teaches us that a Christian is somebody who's made a choice. Peter tells us that a Christian is somebody that bears a cross. But here we learn at Antioch, these are people who were known by their conduct. They were called Christians by the way they lived, by the conduct that they had here. And how has your behavior, how has your conduct changed since you became a Christian? That is, what do you do? Listen to me now. What do you do as a Christian that only a Christian does? Well, I go to church. Mormons go to church. Don't say, well, I do something that nobody else does because I go to church. There's a lot of people who go to church that aren't Christians. Well, I pray. A lot of people pray. Amen. A lot of people count their rosary and all this stuff, and they think they're praying, but they're not Christians. What do you do that only a Christian does? That's going to determine, that's going to make a difference in your life of whether or not you're really a Christian. I mean, don't just point to this person, point to this, well, you know, I do that, and I do that, and they all do that. Oh, well, you know, I tithe. Mormons tithe. Amen. They give 10% of their income. Don't. What do you do that only a Christian does? I read this story, a very interesting story, about Alexander the Great. He had conquered all the known world during his day. And he was fearless in battle. And the only one thing that he could not tolerate is fear. He could not tolerate cowardice in his army. Well, one day he was sitting in judgment, and a young man was brought to him. He was sitting on his throne there, Alexander was, and they brought this young man to him. And when they brought him to the king said, what is your name? And the young man said, Alexander, sir. And the king was almost flattered that this young lad had the same name he did. And his countenance kind of softened a little bit. And so he asked the general, he said, well, what is his crime? What is the charge that's brought against him? Well, he was seen fleeing from the enemy. He was running in fear from the battle. And King Agrippa kind of stiffened a little bit, and he said, what did you say your name was? And my name is Alexander, sir. What did you say your name was? And the kid's petrified. He says, it's Alexander, sir. And the king bolted off his throne and picked the young man up by the tunic, and he raised him up and he said, dare you call yourself the name of Alexander and yet you flee from the enemy? Soldier, either change your conduct or change your name. What's your name? Christian? Does your conduct say you're a Christian? Change your conduct or don't call yourself a Christian. Amen? See, a Christian is known by his conduct and how he lived and how he acted. A Christian is a disciple, a follower of Christ. Amen? This was from an article in Life magazine back in 1987, I think it was. They were producing a movie. The movie's name was Ironweed. It starred Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep. And Meryl Streep played this ragged derelict who lived in a cheap hotel. And she was dying. And they were filming the scene where she was dying, where she was dead. So before filming the scene, Meryl Streep, she hugged and embraced a big bag of ice cubes, a huge bag of ice cubes, trying to experience what it felt like to be a corpse. And she hugged this thing and hugged this thing. She began to turn gray, and she eventually passed out. And so take after take and between takes, Meryl Streep just laid there like a frozen mackerel on the floor. Finally, one of the crew of the that was doing the filming, they went to the director and he said, "What's going on? Is she breathing? Is she dead?" And she showed absolutely no sign of life. And the cameras kept rolling, filming the scene. Finally, the director said, "Cut!" and stopped the scene. And after the shot was made, and for about 10 minutes, Meryl Streep was just laying there, cold as ice. And finally, after about 10 minutes, they wrapped her in blankets. About 10 minutes, she began to slowly emerge from this comatose state like she was in. And she stood up, or she sat up, and then the director said, "Now that's an actress." Wouldn't it be nice if someone would see the way we're living, our conduct, and they would say, "Now that's a Christian." See, everybody that claims to be a Christian don't act like a Christian. Boy, I would hope somebody would look at me and the way I live and said, "Now that's a pastor." "No, I don't want to. That's not what I want." "Well, that's a preacher." "No, I don't want that." What I want people to say about me is, "Now that's my idea of what a Christian really is. By the way I live, by the way I talk, by the way I live apart from the way other people live." Remember, it was those outside the church that called the disciples Christians. See, you really cannot answer the question, "Are you a Christian?" If I come to you and say, "Are you a Christian?" you can't answer that, because it's not what you say about yourself that matters. If I come to you and say, "Are you a Christian?" what you ought to say is, "Well, ask my husband." Or ask my wife. Or better yet, ask my kids. Because if they'll know for sure, they'll see you in your house, they'll know how you live, and they'll be able to tell if you're really a Christian or not. See, it's not a question you can answer yourself. It's what other people say about you that really make a difference. Have you made a choice? Can you remember a time when you made that choice to become a Christian? Are you bearing a cross gladly, suffering for the cause of Christ? And does your conduct tell other people we're a Christian? I read this statement a long, long time ago, but it really stuck with me, and I'm sure you've heard the statement before. And the statement is this: If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the name of Christian. And Lord, I pray that these people here will have a better idea of what the Bible says a Christian is. Help them realize that that word Christian ends in I-A-N, which means I belong to Jesus. I belong to his family. I'm related to Christ. I made that choice in my life to become a Christian. And no matter what comes, no matter what cross comes my way, I'm going to bear that cross. And Lord, I'm going to hope that my conduct tells everybody around me that I'm a Christian. Father, have your will and your way. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed before we close the service. And now I just want to ask for you to raise your hand. Maybe God spoke to you in this sermon. Maybe you'd raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, Brother Hughes, I'll have to admit, I don't remember a time when I became a Christian. I've always thought I always was a Christian, but I realize now there has to be a point in my life when I become a Christian. Is there one that would say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to become a Christian. Would you put your hand up? Let me pray for you. All right, number two, let me ask you this question. Maybe there's some hardship. Maybe there's some suffering that goes along with the name of Christ, bearing the name of Christ, being a Christian, suffering as a Christian. You know, the Lord will take you through that. Trust him. But there will be some suffering. I'm not going to kid you. You trust Christ and you start living for Christ, there's going to be some people that are going to laugh at you. They're going to make fun of you. They may even unfriend you. So say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm bearing a cross. Yes, God bless you, sir. Yes, God bless you. Amen. God bless you, sir. One last question. Does your conduct tell other people you're a Christian? It's not what you say about yourself, but what do other people say about you? They say, yeah, now that's a Christian. If people can't say that, you ought to say, you know what? I ought to change my conduct or change my name. Do you name the name of Christ, but your behavior says otherwise? Pastor Hughes, God spoke to me, and there's some things in my life that is not very Christian. I wish God would take these things from me. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand and let me, God, yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Kevin, wherever he went. You got called back. Okay. I tell you, let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And Sister Storm is going to play something on the piano very softly. Heads are bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you need to come down to this altar. Talk to the Lord about something. If God is speaking to your heart, why don't you come on down and talk to the Lord about it? You don't have to talk to me about it. Talk to the Lord about it. Yes, amen. How about it? Is God speaking to you? Come on.